have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hey, cruising in the wheel, feeling alright. Married, I'ma worship at the red light. Getting lost in my praise, but I'm too hot. Light turn green, now they honking, they'll be alright. Cruising in the wheel, feeling alright. Turn up and worship at the red light. Getting lost in my praise, but I'm too hot. Light turn green, now they honking, they'll be alright. They be trying to put the hoses to my fire. They don't understand why I be praising my Messiah. Sounding like a church in my car with no choir. The windows roll down, turn it up a little higher. When I'm in the spirit, I be feeling transformed. Want me turn it down, saying no to lukewarm. God say do it better, do it, been warned. Baptize my renewed, feeling reborn. I know there's a lot that don't like how I do things. They be trying to take me down, trying new things. They don't understand I got protection from the true king. There's a cross on my back that I must clean. Send the praise to the heaven like it's fireworks. Everybody want to chorus how the body works. Sunday night praising God till the body hurts. Giving honor to the Father for his mighty works. If you're looking for a reason, I can give you one. Think about a battle that you shouldn't have won. If you woke up in the morning, there's another one. If I was you, I would give praise to the Holy One. God gave me joy so the world can't take it. Riding on the boat, sending away, trying to shake it. Aiming for my faith on the daily, trying to break it. Real fruits from the vine, can't fake it.
Cruising in the wheel, feeling alright. Turn up a worship at the red light. Getting lost in my praise, but I'm too hot. Light turn green, now they honking, they'll be alright. Cruising in the wheel, feeling alright. Turn up a worship at the red light. Getting lost in my praise, but I'm too hot. Light turn green, now they honking, they'll be alright.
I just do what's required, this ain't my ways. Wait a minute, why they looking at me sideways? All the shade rolling in like a tidal wave. I just learned to turn it up on them highways. Going through, praise God, you forget the hurt. Praising God, what the seeds that be in the dirt. Got my worship on high on the way to work. Ayy, swerving in my Challenger, skirt, skirt. Gotta even learn to do it in the bad times. Broken heart even in the sad times. He can change the game around before it's even halftime. Put the enemy to sleep before it's nap time. The God I praise hold all the power. FPNL ain't got nothing on his tower. He can bring them lights any minute, any hour. He the one that turn your seed, homie, to a flower. Thank God for the chance when them windows up. I be crying like a baby for a sippy cup. Tears rolling down my face begging God to lift me up. Had a bad day, that's a good pick me up. Thank God for the chance when the windows up. I be crying like a baby for a sippy cup. Ay, tears rolling down my face begging God to lift me up. Had a bad day, boy, that's a good pick me up.
Cruising in the wheel, feeling alright. Turn up my worship at the red light. Getting lost in my praise, but I'm too high. Light turn green, now they honking, they'll be alright. Cruising in the wheel, feeling alright. Turn up my worship at the red light. Getting lost in my praise, but I'm too high. Light turn green, now they honking, they'll be alright.
Hey, how can this really? Welcome back, welcome back. This is Mr. Cedric. Hi, on Election Radio. Thanks to Timmy. Wow, it's been a few minutes, a few weeks. Today is March 25th. Man, what a wonderful Friday it is. I have missed everybody. Definitely missed you, Sister Kimmy, but man, today is going to be a good day. I spent some time talking to a couple of friends of mine, and unfortunately, well, I shouldn't say unfortunately, but we were talking about, you know, things going on today. And so today we were going to have a discussion about some things that are going on in the news and how we're living today in this world that we live in. I like to think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm hoping that everything turns out good, but it's been wonderful. But before I even get started, you know, I wanted to put something out here because I just been noticing a few things, and the things that I've been noticing are just this world. I talked to one of my friends who works in the school system, and they were talking to me about how our children in school are, quote unquote, off the chain, like no home training kind of thing. They don't respect the teachers, and it's just like I feel so out of place, because I'm like, man, kids act like that today. And I'm just taken aback with how things are going today. So with that being said, ethics. And I wanted to talk about how ethical or unethical we could be in our society, but I talked to another friend and I got blindsided from another side, because this friend brought it back from a political standpoint and from a cultural standpoint. And I was just like, wow, you know, this is a lot. So I, being the individual that I am, I just truly, how do I say it? I truly want to just kind of have a discussion about it, because it's just been tough. It's been tough, and we've been doing so much. It's like we just can't, or we haven't gotten it right. And there was a scripture that, in having these discussions, because I have another friend that I talk to that believes that there is a complete separation to church and politics and things like that. And I kept trying to have these conversations, but it always went to politics. And what I mean, like, we talked about school, it went to the city and the state governments. We talked about what's going on overseas in, like, Ukraine. It went to our federal government. It went to other governments. And it seems like we are so intertwined, our society, and we as Christians, I get what we try to do, but we are so intertwined. Everything we do, it on some level or another, there's a government entity. So I was talking to a friend, and we got to that whole thing about ethics and politics and Christianity and politics. So I wanted to just have a quick discussion about it a little bit tonight. You know, just talk about it. We're going to have an open discussion about it. So with that being said, I wanted to bring on Jason. I wanted to make sure he was on with me.
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay, all right. Hey, how you doing? How was your week? How's the last 2 weeks been?
I'm good. You know, nice and relaxing, trying to get to the craziness of this world. But you're right. I mean, as you search through life, you see that ethics are being challenged right now. So I love our discussion today. But everything's been going well with me. How about yourself, sir?
That's good, because after having these discussions, I didn't know what to do with it, right? So I'm glad we talked. I whipped out the old trusty Bible that I read from time to time, and I went to 2 Timothy, and I went to chapter 2, and verses 23 to 25. Now, listen to what it says, because to me it means something, but you can help me out, because I want to just talk about this for the next hour. We'll see where we go. But it says, "But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife." And then it says that, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God," here we go, "peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." And you know, I really like that, but I want to read a different version, because I was reading a different version before, and I believe it was the New American Bible. And what it says is, avoid foolish and ignorant debates, for you know that they breed quarrels. A slave of the Lord should not quarrel, but should be gentle with everyone, able to teach, tolerant, correcting opponents with kindness. It may be that God will grant them repentance that leads to knowledge of the truth. Okay, so that's my whole big premise behind what we want to talk about a little bit tonight, Jason. The big thing for me is, like, I'm noticing that again, having had these conversations, that some of our kids are just off the chain. I get it. COVID. I get it, that whole year of lockdown, and this whole year ain't been totally free. The way we ask them, I got this video online, this guy, he punched a ticket agent at an airport square in the face. You want to fight this ticket agent? That's a federal offense. You're going to jail, bro. You're not going to go home, right? Our politics. Let's go. On every level, there's no real moral or ethical standard being followed anymore. Our relationships at home, right? And our relationships with our neighbors. And man, so I have been overwhelmed with this. And I think that what I really wanted to talk about is Jason, one of the questions you asked me earlier was how does ethics relate to politics? You know, like, what problems are you seeing this day and age?
Like, for me, it's there's an old saying I go by: if you don't stand for anything, you'll fall for everything. And when I look, especially in the political realm, or in a realm where people are looking to others for their authority and influence, they don't really stand for anything. They'll say whatever they need to say just to get somebody to like them, to agree with them, to vote for them, you know? And it's a really crazy thing. You know, we used to look at our elected officials as someone that we admire. We like, oh man, you know, they're really doing it. There's somebody who are stand up people. But now, you know, you watch, one minute they're saying, this is horrible. But when the shoe is turned, they're like, oh, no, it's okay. And then to watch them just navigate the explanations, and you're like, wow. Like some of the things they say, I'm like, I won't even let my kids get away with. I'm like, what are you talking about? And so, you know, when you talk about like that, you know, that's some of the things that I'm seeing, is just how people are just so, like I said, they'll say whatever they need to say to get someone to vote for them, to click on their video, and it doesn't really reflect what they truly believe. And it's just a crazy situation. I can't even make sense of it.
So like, okay, like here's the thing. You know, like our society. I went very general. I just talked about our society, right? But here's the huge thing for me. Like, remember how you and I, we used to talk politics, you know, whenever election season come around, you know, I'm going to be talking politics, right? That's what I do. I enjoy politics. I really, truly do. And you remember how, and I don't know if you still feel this way, but remember you said, well, I don't think Christians should vote. You said, if Jesus were here, would Jesus vote? And I always say yes, and you generally will say, not really. Before we get too deep, you know, like politics, like what is politics? What would you define it as? How would you define politics?
So if I had to, like a working definition of politics, you know, I would say that's a system that we have in place to govern the people, just super high level, right? You know, any system in place to govern the people is how,
okay,
I would typically define politics.
Okay,
So now, if you look at the if you look at the Webster Dictionary, it says activities associated with the governance of a country or other area, especially the debate or conflict among individual or parties having or hoping to achieve power. So, you know, when you look at politics from Zach's standpoint, it does talk about the governance of people. It talks about governing those debates and those conflicts, and in the effort to maintain or achieve power. So I think that's a great definition of politics that's out there. And, you know, given that definition, you know, you see that it kind of fits with, you know, where we have, where we've got a group of people who are out there, they're governing this country or whatever municipality you're looking at, and they're trying to manage through any type of conflict or debate amongst the people that they're governing, and all in an effort to, for the most part, you know, bring unity and push that group forward. But a lot of times what I'm seeing in politics is that our political, the people that we vote in, like I said, they'll just say whatever they want to say to keep themselves in power. And then as you continue to watch them, it's really interesting how the people who are part of our political system seem to become more enriched the longer they're in that political system. You know, some may look at it and say, like, people get in politics and they stay in politics in order to further, you know, advance their financial gains and stature. And it really does look like that. And so far, you know, they're not looking to resolve or move the people that they're governing forward. They're just looking to maintain that position and that power. So, you know, when you talk about politics, I think it's definitely something that has changed from what our founding fathers were really looking for. You know, I think, you know, when we look at our founding fathers and what they wanted and what they were looking for, you know, they were looking for everybody's voice to be heard, everybody to be represented. You know, everybody takes participates in the government that's governing over them, and everybody should have a voice in that. And yes, we had elected officials, but those elected officials were really there to speak for the people and the things that they did. If you look at our politics today, we're nowhere close to that. We are nowhere close to where our founding fathers had us. So, you know, I like this topic when we talk about politics and when we talk about ethics in politics. You know, I think it's something that I really feel like we're missing. And I think it's something that we definitely need to get back, you know, especially as the individual, you know, who becomes elected. Yes, I know they're subject to the will of the people that they're governed, but I do believe that, you know, in any leadership position, in any position that you have any type of authority or influence, it is important that, you know, you help the people that you govern and that you lead. You help them better themselves, right? Help them see, like, hey, yeah, that may benefit you, but, you know, let's look at this from a bigger picture. You know, you try to help expand that vision. You help expand that perspective of the people that you're governing. But our policies today are nothing like that. And I think it is definitely a struggle, right? You said before, to answer your question, no, my stance has not changed. Yeah. That I do not believe Christians should participate in the political system. But as Christians, whether we participate in the political system or not, I think we do have to have ethics and morality, and making sure right. that we are letting those be a forefront in everything that we do.
Right, but think about this. So you're saying, as Christians, you still stand by your thing. You don't think Christians should vote, right?
Right.
And you don't think they should participate in the political arena at all, right?
Right.
So my question to you then is, because we both know that if there were no Christians in politics, where would our system be today at all? Like, do you believe that America is a quote unquote Christian nation?
I believe that it was founded on some values, but if we're defining Christian in like just the core values of of the institution, I would have to say no.
No, wait, two things can be true. So you're saying no, you don't believe America is a Christian nation or was founded on Christian principles?
I believe it was founded on Christian principles. I believe that we've gotten away from those principles.
But do you really believe it was founded on Christian principles? Because like, when I go back and read all the documents from the Founding Fathers, I don't think so. I think it was formed on a select few principles. They're going to say they was Christian. But the reason I ask that is this. Would you like to see a more Christian nation? And if so, what does that look like? Like basically I'm asking, how does, because if you are a Christian and you take God with you everywhere you go, and we say, well, we need more Christian values out here. We need more laws that support our Christian values in America. Then if we don't have Christians in politics, how do you get to those Christian values?
So see, and you know, it's interesting. I know we had a talk about this, and my stance is it's not the system. I don't believe a system can enforce morality. It's an individual choice, and it's individual choice and belief. And I believe as Christians, we don't seek to change the system. We change the people, right? You know, if you and I go back to it, you know, when Christ walked the earth, he didn't participate in the political system, but what he did do was walk next to those people who were subject to that political system, and change the hearts of those people, which ultimately directed the nation and where they were going.
Okay, but now think about this. So Jesus walked with politicians who were not Christians, but he changed their hearts and minds and they became Christians. Did they give up the political arena?
No.
So, really, as a Christian, that's my logic. My logic is, and I'm not going to argue the point. I just wanted to spend a couple of seconds on it to say that, you know what, whether you choose to be involved in the voting process or not, that's a personal decision. I think that there is, in order for us to get what we call our country back together, I know that the Word of God relates to politics. I know that there's a relationship in there, because check this out. We're going to start talking about your morals and your values. Look, Christian values, they mean something to you. They mean something to me, right? And I'm not willing to follow. Okay. And this is what I mean. If who is filled with hate, and this person just dominates other people and is just horrible towards other people and does everything for self-gain, would you want that person to leave the United States of America?
So let's flip the script, right?
Let's go. Let's do it.
What do you see the problem with someone like that leading? And this is a general question, right? And I ask this question because I always say this, right? I do not care who's in the White House because I know who sits on the throne. And in my head, all the politics and the political system, the only thing they can do is affect the circumstances I have here on earth. But as a Christian, I don't live for the circumstances. I live for an eternity. And if they don't have a heaven and hell to put me in, then they're
okay. I mean, I'm hearing you, man. But I'm saying that sounds good on a T-shirt. That sounds good in a little book of poetry. That sounds really, really good, right? Well, come on, let's go reality here. Do you understand if church folk? Last month was Black History Month, and we missed the last week. We were going to do a show on it. But look, didn't get involved. I'm going to go straight. If the black church didn't get involved in politics, you probably still, that would be people in America right now living under Jim Crow who still wouldn't be able to vote on our system of governance. If the government is for the people, by the people, and it's of the people, if you don't want to say so in what's going on, then you just sit back and let it go. But I think that we need more. I think the gospel needs to be in politics because we need more people to act responsibly, to act like they're human, to act more like Christ. If we had a lot more people acting like Christ in politics right now, this would be a lot better nation that we live in. Do you agree with that?
Oh, I completely agree with that. Yeah, I completely agree. If people carried more of a attitude that Christ has, you know, submitting to the Father, always looking to further the kingdom agenda, we would definitely be in a better place, you know. But to go back to reality, the reality of it is this: God has given every human being free will, and in that free will, people make choices, and most often than not, the choice you see people making is that selfish choice, is that self-centered choice, and so that's the reality of what we're dealing with.
I get it. I'm not trying to convert you. I'm not trying to change you. Let me ask you this question. Because I get you say, well, gospel. Because when I think of the word of God, when I think of the word, I think of the word and I think of how it relates to our ethics, the things that we do, right? You know,
right.
Our moral standards in life. Now, would you agree that by being a Christian, you will tend to hold yourself to a higher standard, both morally and ethically, in the way that you live your life? Or no?
Yes. Yeah.
And so, you know, the big thing for me, how do I say it? The big thing for me is that, you know, whenever I see Christians in politics, I'm not trying to convince you that you need to be in there, right? But I am saying, what governance would a person who had no beliefs in anything except me, what motivation would they have to govern for the people? Where's the motivation in that? I mean, for me, it's just crazy. I mean, it's not crazy, but it's one of those things where we don't apply what we've been given. In other words, see, I see a connection between ethics and politics, right? Right? And the way I look at it is this: it's that framework that we look at. Like when you look at how our laws are set up. I tell you again that this country was not founded on Christianity. Why? Because the laws were set up divided on racial lines. Stiffer penalties for people who weren't a certain color or weren't in a certain group. Different penalties. Penalties that were made up. When you think about voting, and I referenced Jim Crow, when you think about what was happening, let's go back to Reconstruction. Let's go back a little bit. When you had the Northern soldiers were stationed in the South, because what had happened when the Civil War was over, the slaves, hey, y'all can own land now. Y'all can vote now. We had slaves that were voted into our government. We had slaves who had never owned anything, check this out, who now all of a sudden owned land. And what happened? They made this agreement with the South because of money, and all of a sudden, after Reconstruction, there came Jim Crow. And they made laws, and the point I want to get to is they made laws. They made laws that prohibited black people from owning land, prohibited black people from marrying a white person, prohibited black people from voting, and there was and the thing is, we have to be, I think we have to really be careful, because there is an intersection between between the gospel of God, our ethics, and there's also an intersection with our ethics and politics. Because think about it. At some point, our values are going to come to the surface, and we are going to be known. All of our actions are going to become known by our value system. Does that make sense?
So you're saying the actions of the individuals, when you say they're going to be judged by the value system, would explain that a little bit.
Your values and your morals. Think about this. There's a role in our government. Morality itself, right, is basically built into the function of our government and our society, just our values, right? And what it is because it gives us the ability to judge people and to punish people, like I was saying before. And in order to do this equally across the board, it requires a moral framework, right? And there's a
right.
set of rules that are reflected by this moral framework, right? And check this out. This set of rules is what we call today laws, these laws. On these laws, our society and our government are able to punish the wrongs in this society, right? We get to enact judgments against people. That's basically what it is when you're found guilty, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I would much rather be a part of a government that's an agent of God. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
No, that definitely does make sense, yes.
It scares me. I get it. Being a Christian, I get it. You probably fall back on that one scripture like I just read, the Second Timothy. You know, you don't want to argue with people, right, over senseless stuff that don't make sense with you, right? You don't want to do that. But I think it's imperative that we have disagreements. We can be angry and sin not. But I think it's imperative that we have the real discussions. Because I'm trying my best, if you haven't noticed, I'm trying my best not to talk about the last administration, this administration, the administration before, what's going on with Russia, what's going on with Ukraine, what's going on with the Supreme Court justices. And you notice those poor justices and the Supreme Court justice nominee, how people are treating people. Man, I say to anybody who says that America was basically founded on Christianity, I tell them to their faces that they're lying. They are lying. It was founded, I mean, part of it, it was founded on religious freedom, but not necessarily Christianity. I'm just being honest. Now, I would love for everybody in America to be believing in Jesus Christ the way we do, but if America is a Christian nation, what do we do with the people who aren't Christians? Just throwing it out there.
So I think when you talk about being founded on Christian values and being a Christian nation, what that really means. For me, that means that we exhibit the attributes and characteristics of Christ, and we are committed to, you know, the kingdom agenda. And to your point, for a nation to be, for a kingdom to be thriving, everybody has to be in alignment with the king. And because to your, I think you did say it correct, more correct than we mostly say it, America was founded on religious freedoms. So to answer your question, if I'm a Christian, what do I do with that non-Christian? You know, from my belief system standpoint, I love them and I embrace them. From a country standpoint, if we are a country that were Christians, you know, we would do the same. But what we've seen is that, you know, because things are different, whether it be religion, whether it be culture, whether it be race, country does not treat everybody the same. So
why not?
And I think that's easier to explain because most people are selfish individuals. And they're looking out for their number one self. And I think what we have more than anything else is a government that reflects that selfishness of the individual more so than the kingdom agenda. Right?
Wait.
So,
you said we have a government?
Yeah. Our government reflects, I think it reflects that selfishness, that I'm doing what's best for me.
Right, but you said that you don't think Christians should be involved in politics. How are you going to get what's best for you when nobody's there to represent you? Again, I ain't trying to change your mind. I just want you to look at it.
Right. So what's best for me is what God gives to me, and no man on this world can stand in the way of that.
Hold on. Didn't God establish government for the Jews? Didn't God use judges and prophets, right, to speak to the people?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that feel like a system of government to you?
Right. And I wouldn't disagree with that. But if you look at what the prophet, the judges, the kings, they were in themselves in forwarding the agenda of God, right? It was never about their own personal agenda. And the kings who did forward their own personal agenda, right? Now, the kings who did, they were identified as being in opposition of God, right?
Uh-oh.
You know, and the first one that comes to my mind is the first king, Saul, right? God chose him. You know, at some point in time, he no longer pushed the kingdom agenda, but even more so pushed his own agenda. Because of that, you know, God rejected him, right? So go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, so when you talk about the system and how it was established, I do believe, you know, God did establish government. But once again, I believe human beings screwed up the great thing God created, right? Because we got away from...
But see, I'm gonna go there with you real quick here. See, you say you don't think Christians should be involved, but even King Saul had a Christian out there. Well, he wasn't a Christian, but had a follower of God, right? Had one
right.
of God's chosen at his side. Am I right? Okay. You were talking about the first king. I'm gonna jump in and talk about the second king, who had a relationship with God, right? He did wrong, but he repented. He did wrong. He repented. He went to God, right? But I make these points to say he had a spiritual advisor as well. a man of God who was pointing out his wrongs. The difference between a David and a Saul was David repented, right? He tried to get back in right order with God, right? We have a bunch of Sauls out here who don't even try to get back in right order with God. They just go willy-nilly and do what they want to do. Then we as Christians have nobody to blame but ourselves. You don't think so? Okay,
no, I don't.
Romans 13. Somebody just text this thing.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Romans 13, 1 and 2. It says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established, right? Just like when
right.
Donald Trump was put in office, everybody was like, he's God's chosen. What? For real? And he got there and showed his natural behind. And people
right.
still say he was chosen by God. So was Saul, derailed. And God had to deal with him. Right?
Right.
If we don't have good Christian values, at least people with morals, man, we are going to be worse off tomorrow than we ever thought we could be. You know what I'm saying? Because in verse 2 of Romans 13, it said, consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. All I'm saying is, I don't want you doing a Vladimir Putin on my house. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather have somebody there talking to you and advising you that this is wrong. So that's just me. That's just me. Because we're going to another point. I wanted to kind of – I had a couple of points. And it's ironic how we've been going through them. But there's a I think – and tell me if I'm wrong, but I think you're more like one of those people that says that I need to understand the limits of my relationship, of the relationship between the gospel, between ethics, and my politics. And I think that a lot of us, that's where we mess up. What do you think? Understanding that relationship between God's word, our ethics, and our politics.
Yeah, I think there is a challenge kind of connecting those, right? And sometimes, you know, I'll tell you for me, you know, establishing that connection is sometimes impossible, right? Because I don't
really
think it's hard to establish between God's word and the ethics, because the morality is baked into the word of God. You know, when we talk about righteousness, and, you know, we know we've got the ultimate symbol of righteousness in God and Christ themselves. So that's not a hard connection. But then when you try to put ethics, you know, into this thing of politics, you know, then you have to start watering down what you call ethical, right? If you stand completely in alignment with the ethics that's been established by Christ and about you know, and God and that. Is that if that is the absolute that you go by, our political system isn't there, right? Because in my head, you know, and in my heart, I believe that, you know, we live as a tool for God to use, not about ourselves, not about what we want, but ultimately in submission to God and what He wants. You know, our whole system of government tells people to fight for your wants and your desires, right? Not fight for the desires of God and the thing that God has put you on here for, but fight for your individual rights. I mean, this pandemic has been the most telling thing that I've ever seen. I've seen more selfishness in us as people, pandemic, than I thought ever existed. Wear a mask. God, you're infringing on my rights, you know? And that was the thing everybody kept saying. You're infringing on my rights. But what about
the
collective health? Right. Well, what about the collective health of us as a unit, where we give up sometimes our own personal rights for the bigger collective?
Yeah. like Spock said, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few, right?
Right.
But don't you see that that's all the more reason for us as being followers of Christ to actually be involved? That doesn't make sense to you? That doesn't resonate?
I believe the system's too far gone. I mean, if you really ask me, I believe the system is too far gone for so let me take that back. Can shift and change the system if he wants to. There's no doubt in that. I think if God decides, like, hey, I do not like this system of government in America, in Russia, in China, I'm going to reestablish a different system, he can, and he has the ultimate authority to do that. But I do believe that there's a bigger thing involved, and it's not the system that govern the people, it's the people themselves. And for me, the energy and effort that's where we put the energy and effort. So to your point, right, if we do what we're supposed to do and we're going out there making disciples of people, of men, and we're doing our part and allowing God to change the hearts of the men we come in contact with, ultimately this will become a Christian country. Right, because all the people have a heart for God, and they're going to serve in different areas of our community, whether it be the baker, the garbage man, the politician, the police officer, and you'll see that heart show up in the work that they do. Right, you know. So, can we become a Christian nation? Yes, right. But I believe it starts from the ground up. It starts with the people first. To influence the system and not try to from the top down, that the people in charge are trying to now to rain down that heart of God down to the people that they govern.
See, I see your choice, and I need to raise another one because then man, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought for a moment. Okay, let me ask you this. Now, we're both Christians. Now, do you think that I know what it was. You saw the debates, the last presidential election we had. You saw the debates, right?
Yes.
You see the commercials now when they start talking, because everybody's running for office, and you being in Texas, y'all just had an election not too long ago. You saw the ads they were running on TV, and you heard it on the radio, right?
Right.
How did those ads make you feel? When you heard them, how did they make you feel? Okay. I can ask you a different question.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
No, I mean, when I watch the ads, so this last political cycle, like 2016 and 2020 election, it was very interesting. Because when Donald Trump first came on the scene in 2016, everybody, all you could hear was how atrocious his behavior was, how this is not what government's about, this is not how people who govern folks, he is unfit, he's this and he's that. And I'm not going to lie to you, there were times I was watching these debates, especially the Republican debates, with my children, and I had to turn the TV off because I'm like, this is not the crap I want. This is not the stuff I want my children to see. Here we are, you know, 4 years, you know, 8 years removed from that situation. And because Donald Trump got success in his way he acted and behaved, you see more politicians following that pattern, right? The same politician that said, oh, my God, that's atrocious, are the same people now doing that. You know, so as I watch these, I watch these ads and I'm looking at these political things, I'm like, it just talks to me more about. It talks about, I mean, when he talks about ethics and morality, that I'm going to say whatever I need to say to keep myself, to get you to vote for me.
Mm. So if someone were like that, I'm gonna say what I need to say to get you to vote for me. But wouldn't they be better suited if they had somebody of a high moral standard? I'm talking about Christians here, standing behind them, holding them accountable. Yeah, my argument for Christ in politics is that you know, the enemy is evil. I mean, look what he did to Eve when Adam didn't stand up. Look what happened. Convinced her that surely God will not kill you. He didn't say he's going to strike you dead this instant. You have
right.
no one behind you to hold you upright. Oh, my God. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to go over there and talk about Moses a little while, but I'm going to stay right here. My big thing is, I was going to ask this question. So, though you and I both disagree with whether Christians should vote or not vote, do you have any problem disagreeing with me? Because my question is, as faithful Christians, can we disagree on ethics and politics? So we're both Christians. Can we have a disagreement about our ethics and about our politics?
We should, right? I think we should, because ultimately, if we're Christians, our commitment isn't to the ethics or the politics. Our commitment is to the God that we serve. And although we may agree on the particulars of like how we manage ourselves and navigate the circumstances of this thing of this world, disagree on, we serve a great God. And in serving that God, we want to push the kingdom agenda. Now, we may have different ideas of how that kingdom agenda is pushed. You know, you may say, hey, let's get it in government and set up in the government. I may say, hey, let's start with the people and then allow the government to become part of an outpouring of the people's heart and where they are. But at the end of the day, we should be able to be able to talk that if we're really truly focused on the things that what God wants, you know. Now, if we can't get there, then that's a whole different story.
And you're 100% right, but I think as Christians that we should be able to disagree and we should be able to be passionate in what we say, but neither of us should walk away from that argument or disagreement or be face-to-face with one another while in the disagreement and feel any animosity toward one another. We shouldn't want to slap each other around. We should just debate the issue and say, okay, all right. Like you and I do about voting. I'm like, man, I don't get it. And I really don't. But I love the way you stand. You ain't say, well, I just don't believe it. I don't think Jesus would have voted. I think he would have been. I think he would have voted. But we have to understand, because that's the big deal with our society. And you said it earlier today. You know, I'm okay with you as long as you agree with what I'm doing. But the second you disagree, now you're going to have to face my wrath. See, all the more reason why I think we need people who are more Christ-like in office. And then that brings up the other point. I know we got to get ready to get out of here, but I bring up another point because I'm only talking about Christianity. What do we do with Muslims? What do we do with Hindus? What do we do with people, atheists? What do we do with people who just flat out don't believe in God? What do we do? You see, I think if we conduct ourselves in a very high moral and ethical standard, I believe that when those people come in contact with us, they will do the same thing. They will mirror our actions. If we had a disagreement, they would mirror our actions. And what does that mean? That means that if I'm calm and I'm talking to you, or if I'm passionate and I'm talking to you and you're passionate talking to me, after it's all said and done, I hold out my hand, you hold out your hand, I shake your hand, I give you a hug, and I say, I'm going to keep on praying. And you say, well, I don't believe in the God you believe in, but I say, I'm going to keep praying for you. And we both leave that situation, and we're okay with it. I don't have no problem with that. I mean, do you believe, like with everything that's going on in our society right now, and the big issues right now are the same marriages and the transgender. How you feel about that stuff? I know I just jumped into politics, but it's coming back because it goes right back to the laws. How do you feel about the laws that are being written, passed, and proposed?
I think the general point I make, they don't reflect the Christian values. But I will tell you, my thoughts about that have shifted because I don't believe it's the job of the country to dictate morality. So the laws that are being passed, ooh, although they were atrocious and they were an affront to God and everything that he stands for, you know, it's not, you know, that's the laws of the land. The great thing about it is they're not dictates and they're not mandates. You know, they're choices. So although the laws may be out there, you know, we still have the choice. And I think as Christians, we need to be more focused on the choices that people make, not the laws that govern the people. And we get lost in that.
All right.
Right? Because we didn't fall. The fall of man did not come because of the laws of the land, or because God made the laws. But you see what happened is it was the choice that man and woman made that caused the fall of man. And here we are thousands of years later, and we've forgotten about the same that same choice that causes that got us into this situation is the same choice that we're not even trying to dictate. We're still trying to go back to the law when we realize the law is deficient, right? In the sense that the law allows the, we have the autonomy to say I'm not going to follow the law and I'm going to do what I want, and that and God has given that autonomy to us, right? So as Christians, all this effort and energy we're trying to put into making these laws doesn't take away, does not usurp the autonomy God's given us, and that greatest grift and the worst thing he ever did was free will, right? Because when we use our free will to support God, it is the greatest gift he's ever given us. When we use that same free will to enact the evils in our hearts, you see the atrocities that we face, right? You know, and as a Christian, that's where I think our energies have to be focused on is how do I help people use that gift that God gave them so in a way that honors him? Because if they do that, everything else falls in line.
Are you 100% right? Because, man, I can feel that because, you know, as you were talking, I was sitting there and I was thinking that you know, though we're talking about ethics and politics and things like that, I was sitting here thinking that, because you said something, but it made me think this, made me think to say this, that your ethics and your politics, they're not going to determine your salvation at all, right? It's your transformation. It's your knowledge of Jesus Christ, right? That forms, and then the thing is, the Holy Spirit is going to affect all of that. You know what I'm saying? Mm. With that breath, with the Holy Spirit is going to convict you. The Holy Spirit should guide all of this. Your ethics and your politics will fall in line because listen. We ain't gonna make it by our wonderful works. Am I right or wrong? We ain't getting there. You know, our gospel that we read, it commands us to love our neighbors, right? Right, and it calls all of us as Christians to take care of our neighbors. You see, that's why I say inherently this is not a Christian nation because we're not trying to take care of one another. And we start in the political arena. That's what it's about. And the laws that were written, you see, the laws that we write, they reflect the hearts and minds of us, right? And so our hearts and our minds are in the wrong place. So I say we need more Christians. We need more Christians serving in this country no matter what. I think that we need to grasp hold of that. We really need to do that. And the way we can stay, listen, some of our rules, some of our laws, if we pray on these things and we continue to study the scriptures, we're going to know what issues that God has spoken to us on, right? God has made this issue clear to us. God has made this issue clear to us because I studied it, and the Word says it's plain as day. Now, this issue over here, it may not be clear to me in the Word of God. Maybe I have to show a little more tolerance to this, but this doesn't really line up with Scripture, right? And I think if we stay in the Word, if we get more of us in these higher places, and because you know, most of us as Christians, we ascend to the highest heights, but we don't go alone. We bring our backup. We bring our prayer warriors with us. Am I right or wrong?
You're right.
I'm gonna give my own self an amen. We bring them with. You gotta excuse me, Mom. But we have to do it that way. I think that's the only way. Now, I know we kind of coming to the end of ours, and my conclusion is simple with this right here. I think that our relationship with Christ, it does affect our ethics, and I think our ethics does affect our politics. I think as long as we keep Christ first, right, and we continue to study the Word of God, and we keep our moralities and our ethics on the level where God wants us to have, I think our politics are going to do just fine. See, our politics are a byproduct of who we are, right?
Yes.
Our politics are a byproduct of what we take in. And I think that again, with people who refuse, who refuse God, who walk away from God, who just want to do what they want to do, their politics reflect who they are. And that's the reason why I say inherently our politics, it ain't about God. You can call it a Christian nation. But a lot of people call themselves Christians, and ain't nothing about them say Christianity. Nothing about them says they believe in God. Nothing. So are they really Christians? And then the first thing a Christian will say is, well, I'm going to let God judge his heart. You're right. But there are checks and balances out here. And God told us to be wise as serpents, but gentle as doves. So I can be very gentle when I say to you, I want to go check that heart. Okay? I can be very gentle. So having said that, Jason, I know we got to close out, man. You got the last words for us?
No. Just keep living it out and just do what God calls us to do and love the people that we come across. And no matter what political spectrum you're on, no matter what we agree on or what we disagree on, I agree with you that we should be able to disagree but still love God the same and love God together.
Amen. Well, man, this has been a fun Friday night. And I slow down, I'd be kind of crazy, but it's been a fun Friday night. So, what we say here, man, I'm telling you, do like we do, because I really love what we do. So find something you love, embrace it, and chase it. And that's your relentless pursuit. Hey, this is Jason. Thank you. Have a wonderful weekend. God bless you. And be safe. And study your word tonight. All right. So y'all have a good night. Sister Kimmy, if you will, go ahead and cue our music.
Shout out D on the track. Paint Music Media. Shout out DJ Lee Productions. And I'm Al Care. But if you a game changer, got my head high. My grind don't hide. Win, lose, or draw. I'ma ride till I die. I go hard in that lane. My God is the aim. Put me in, coach. And watch me change the game. Cause I'm a game changer. 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 I'm full court press. I pledge allegiance to the best. Ain't nothing left to give it that reverence that the Father gets. So every day I work the sweat. Can't get a flesh another rest. They say go hard or go home. I say just do whatever's best. It's evident I'm blessed and I work like it. Fight like a Viking, fight like a lichen. The difference is I like it, so I shine like I'm lightning. So I'm going head to head with certain tests. Who you liking? Yeah. So it's time for coach to put me in. I'm strapping on my shoulder pads, lacing up my cleats, and then I'm gone with the wind. Like I'm gone in 60 seconds. You can't hold me, you can't check me. Check the memo, check the message running through. Like I'm baddest, I'm trucking whoever's standing in my way. Ain't no way you gon' stop me. You better off to let me in. Cause I go hard even though they say no way that I could win. Like I'm Brett Favre, I'ma ride this game. My head to the sky. My grind don't hide. Win, lose, or draw. I'ma ride till I die. I go hard in that lane. My God is the aim. Put me in, coach. And watch me change the game. Cause I'm a game changer. I'm a game changer. I'm a game changer. I'm a game changer. I'm a game changer, I'm a game changer, I'm a game changer, I'm a game changer. Yeah, I told you once before, my God came to change the game. Different outlook onto life, a different way to play the lane. Now my rushing yards just got rocketing, now I'm so insane. For the kingdom building, now my shot, it cannot be contained. So I'm gon' pray for change, for myself and then what I can. I don't need no euros or no pesos or no money gram. Shout out to Wado, cause I know that he gon' play this fam. The FCA sports camp, game changer, summer jam. I don't need 100 grand to tell him that they need the lamb. It's heaven, it's just who I am. Al Kim, this where I stand. Man, I'm gon' play the fist, hit too deep and turn it quick. It's like I'm out from the trap to turn around, get back in it. Never that that's insane. It's evident, your book they chain. Like I'm Jack Johnson, the same year he changed his name. So I sacrifice my life for the cause, get the win. And if you a game changer, let me see you represent. My grind don't hide, win, lose, it drought. I'ma ride till I die, I go hard in that lane. My God is the aim, put me in, coach, and watch me change the game. Cause I'm a game changer, 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 I'm a game changer. Now put me in, coach, 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 I'ma go hard.
I'ma go hard, I'ma go hard.
I'm a game changer. I'm a game changer. I'm a game changer. I'm a game changer.